Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone for the next few minutes? Look at pictures of food your friends ate again. Call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS for a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
So we'll get to Russell Wilson again in a couple of seconds, but just really quick, boy, I'll tell you what. There may be no other coach in the NBA whose seat is hotter than Luke Walton. All right, now, look, the Knicks beat the Kings tonight 140 to 121. I mean, look, the Kings have now lost nine in a row, and it's not like the Kings are terrible. The Kings have some talent on this team. Look, tonight, De'Aaron Fox went for 29-11. He's turned into a phenomenal player. They have some talent here. And the Kings have now lost nine in a row, but when it's punctuated in a loss in which you give up 140 points to the worst offensive team in the NBA, now because of this game, not the worst team in offense in the NBA, that's not going to reflect well on your head coach. Neither is slamming a clipboard down at the end of the game like Luke Walton did when one of his assistants walked over the clipboard to him. The clock hits double zeros or triple zeros, and Luke Walton just knocks the clipboard out of his hand. Alvin Gentry goes and picks it up for him, which really, Luke Walton could pick up his own mess right there. I think that's probably okay.
Yeah, I would have walked away.
Yeah, I mean, that's Alvin Gentry being a nice guy. You know, that's him being going, okay, I get it. You're insane. You need to take a second here and figure things out. I'm going to pick this up for you, but you can't lose your composure like this on the court. It was a rude thing to do when a guy's just trying to give you a clipboard. And so Luke Walton now has the attention of everybody in the NBA, and not for a good reason. He is probably on the hottest of seats of any team in the NBA, because like I said, this is not a Kings team that is bereft of talent. And with the talent they have, they should be a 500-ish team. I'm not saying the Kings are a team that should be at the top of the Western Conference, but you know, their talent compares very favorably, in fact, even more favorably, to teams that are ahead of them in the Western Conference. And even in you know, you want to compare them to where they are, teams in the Eastern Conference in the NBA, their talent compares very favorably. You know, there's teams that are off to bad starts, but they're most of the teams you would expect to be off to bad starts. But boy, I'll tell you what, nine in a row, Luke Walton's seat is even hotter than Brad Stevens in Boston. You know, at least the Celtics are 500, can make a run here at some point. Well, that seat could get hotter too, but I Walton right now is hotter than Brad Stevens.
Yeah, there's no question. You look at De'Aaron Fox, you said 22 and a half a game, Harrison Barnes at 16, Hield at 16. You've got six guys averaging double digits. You're giving up 120.5 points per night, the worst in the NBA. That's what you need to look at. Defensively, what is going on here, and why haven't you been able to at least close the gap a little bit? Obviously, offensive league, we see some of these crazy final scores, and giving up 140 to the Knicks will give you a couple of sleepless nights here. I mean, there's no question. But you lost to a Tom Thibodeau coach team, and you gave up 140 points. You want to talk about soul-searching, long walk on the beach, contemplating the meaning of life and your place in the universe? That's the kind of loss that this is. You know, talking about the over-unders, man. In New Orleans, that came in again, 23-3-1, the last 27 now, as they battle Milwaukee. But you're seeing the high scoring. You've got to figure out how to get one stop at the end of game, in this case like eight stops tonight, but you're not getting out of your own way, because offensively you're putting up points. You've got guys that can fill it up. Halliburton's been a nice find for them in what he's been able to do with his minutes this year. So there's talent. And Luke Walton, everybody watched him get a lot of run when he was coaching up superstars. The grass on the other side has wilted. There has been no watering.
Wow, I like the gardening theme you are going with. I like that. Do they need to put peat moss in, or do they need some worm tea to put in to make things grow?
Yeah, you got to resod, and we got to get a better sprinkler system in.
Okay.
You got to make sure that you can actually have some good fertile land, because right now you got a lot of empty stats. And for fantasy basketball players, hey, they're loving it. You got guys filling it up every night because they're giving up points, and they're going to score a bunch. Why? Because, well, some meaningless buckets fighting back as they're getting bludgeoned. So, yeah, Luke Walton, definitely the hot seat. And the Celtics situation is just interesting and fun to watch, right? They've had some issues keeping guys in the lineup, but overall they were expected to run roughshod. And when you see Philadelphia with those same usual suspects of Embiid and Simmons atop the East, that certainly does not sit well in Boston.
I'll tell you what, if Luke Walton winds up getting fired, man, you can say the New York Knicks are the biggest coach killers in the NBA, right? That'd be a second head coach that would get fired. We lost to the Knicks. That was really embarrassing, man. We're done.
Buddy, if that happens, like if he got fired after the game tonight, they start walking around, and Tom Thibodeau, I want someone to Photoshop him like he's Brendan Gleeson from Gangs of New York, where he puts the little notch on the coaches that he cost jobs. Good Lord.
Wow. I mean, you're talking the Knicks, the New York coach killer Knicks. Hey, lose to the Knicks, your head coach could be fired. Celtics fans are looking, going, when do we play the Knicks? When do we play the Knicks? I got to make sure we play the Knicks, because if we lose that game, we got to get rid of Brad Stevens. The players are tuning him out. It's not working anymore. Vote Quimby. Everybody's going, the Knicks, coach killers, man. I don't want to play the Knicks. Coaches are watching the schedule going, I don't want to play the Knicks, man, because if we lose, that's not good. You saw what happened in Minnesota. You see what's going to happen in Sacramento, man. You lose to the Knicks, and suddenly you're on the list. You're on the list of getting fired. That's how it is. That's how bad it is right now. But the Knicks.
Let's see. Pacers, Pistons. Yeah.
Okay.
Spurs,
well,
All right.
They're fine. Pacers are they're in fourth right now. They're 500, so nothing's happening there. Okay. Who's after that?
Yeah. I don't see any Celtics games for you, buddy.
Oh, they're lucky. They're lucky.
Yeah.
That's really lucky right there. I'll tell you.
So, actually, no. Not until April 7th is the first time I see it on there.
Until when?
April 7th.
Oh, yeah. They'll make a decision on Brad Stevens long before. Yeah, that's
long
fine.
Before that, exactly.
Yeah, he's lucky. Brad Stevens dodged a bullet right there. Whew, man.
Otherwise, he'd be on the Mount Rushmore of coaches whose careers were derailed by Tom Thibodeau, Julius Randle, and the upstart New York Knicks. Look at that. I'm buying into your narrative. Why? Because it's fun. It's fun. And sports talk radio is supposed to be fun.
It's like Tom Thibodeau was walking around like with souvenirs from all the coaches that he had fired that he wears on his body, right? Oh, I got it. Here you go. This is Luke Walton's pocket square handkerchief, right? This is like a is what I'm going to have something for everybody.
It's funny because I was going straight to the pocket square too. Oh boy,
Tom Thibodeau comes on the court and he just points at you. He goes, "You're next. You're next. You're next." He starts waving like incense and sage, like Kyrie Irving, and people go, "What's going on, dude? If you lose to Thibodeau, man, you're going to get fired." Look at the act he's going on. Oh yeah, he'll be yelling around in the arena. It'll be all. The Knicks should really just really embrace this one. They should really.
Why is he wearing a General Washington outfit?
They should. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've been waiting for, Tom Thibodeau. We are outgunned, outmanned. We can't score at all, man.
Well, we put up 140 on the Kings. Oh boy!
And then in the distance, Luke Walton waves a white handkerchief. The game is over. The game is over. The coach got fired now. The coach got fired now. Oh, man, that'll be something. I'll tell you. Knicks. Coach killing Knicks. So we'll keep you updated on that. And we'll find the play-by-play of here's the final call of the game. And this is when Luke Walton gets so upset, he slams the clipboard down after the final gun. Let's hear it.
Final score, Knicks a season best, 140 points, 121 for Sacramento, quickly with 25 off the bench, 24 for Burks, and a massive fourth quarter, knocking down five threes, helping the Knicks put this ball game away here tonight.
Knicks Radio Network on the call. There you go. You can hear there it is. There's the clipboard being slammed to the ground right there. Tyshirt, can you play that again? Wow, way to isolate that sound. That is way to isolate that. That's
all right. Ready for a headline that's already made its way in for tomorrow's paper from the New York Post?
Okay, go ahead.
Mike Vaccaro, Knicks now face an intriguing debate. Progress versus playoffs. Let's go.
Here's a little bit of Luke Walton following the game tonight, talking about the loss and the clipboard slamming and all that good stuff.
No, I mean, look, I'm frustrated. We all should be frustrated. I don't know if I can say it's the most frustrated I've been. You know, there's things when we make the same as a coach. There's only, you know, what you can do. You put a plan together and you work on things and you communicate those things. So, you know, the frustration comes out at times because you're not out there. You can't hit people. You can't run up and down and get it out. So, you know, look, I was frustrated tonight.
It's frustrating.
You can't hit people? I like that. That's a great line.
Yeah. No. Look, violence is not the answer. No, I can't hit people. Can't hit people. We can't do it. But I'm frustrated. Like when he way said that, like, I want to just put my fist through a wall right now. I'm frustrated and get out of my way so I can punch this ball. I'm so mad right now.
Frustrating.
Out of anger.
Yeah, clearly this is, you know, look, Luke Walton is number one trending topic on Twitter right now for a reason. This is why. And it really is embarrassing. Not all losses are made equal. And that's the whole thing, is that Sacramento could lose 9 in a row very easily off the radar, right? But when do coaches get fired, right? Very rarely do we wake up and just go, oh, so-and-so get fired, right? We usually know something going on. But here's the fact that the game happens and they lose to the Knicks and they give up 140 points to the worst shooting team in the NBA, right? The worst offense in the NBA, bar none. You get two guys coming off the bench. Look, as good as Emmanuel Quickly is, I mean, 25 points in 20 minutes. Alec Burks has 25 points in 20 minutes off the bench. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing. So you have this very embarrassing loss, and you couple it with, here's this highlight of him slamming the clipboard on the ground that doesn't make him look good. These are things that push the needle forever away from you and towards, hey, we might have to make a decision here as head coach. Because if they just lost this game to the Knicks and they lose, like, you know, 110-95 or, you know, 108-101 or something like that, and Luke Walton doesn't get frustrated and do that, is his seat as hot as it is now? It's probably hot, but it's not the red hot seat it is right now. It doesn't give you the ammunition and fans and the media of, we got to get rid of Luke Walton, because everybody reacts to games differently. And when something big happens where fans feel like they're embarrassed or they're pissed, this is where firing a head coach takes on a bigger scope. It's just, well, we lost again. Oh, man. I mean, people would be all over Twitter saying fire Luke Walton if they just lost 108-101 tonight to the Knicks. And that was, no, of course not. It would be a little bit of, but now it's the topic, because this is how they lost. They gave up 140 and he slams a clipboard down in the end. There's certain things that you like to go back in time and rewind. And if you could rewind both of those moments, that's something that Luke Walton would like to do, but you can't. And so not all losses are created equal. And now you see where the ball is rolling. Look, we're talking about it now. I'm sure people are going to pick it up and talk about it tomorrow, because they'll see the highlight and they'll listen to our show, obviously. And, you know, we give you the takes tonight and people spout them out as their own in the morning. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
So you can see that this is where you can see how the ball starts rolling forever away from Luke Walton after something like this.
Well, let me go back into their schedule for you for a moment. And for all of you listening across the great Fox Sports Radio Network, we appreciate you being with us. Here's the season for the Sacramento Kings. Losers of 6 of 7. And then they win 7 of their next 8. A couple of postponements against Memphis. And now they've lost 9 straight. They won 7 of 8.
Yep.
Including wins over Toronto and Boston and the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets, a win over Zion and company, all of that mixed in, and win over the Knicks, going all the way back to start that streak back in mid-January, the 22nd. And then you've got 9 in a row, and in this 9-game losing streak, they've given up at least 118 points in each of those games, and the last 7 of the last 8, 123, 124, 136, 122, 128, 127, 140. We're talking about no showing on defense time and time again. So riddle me this, Batman. How do you go and win the 7 of 8 in the middle of all that in between two massive losing streaks? I mean, that is just – I don't know that I've ever seen a schedule play out like this in the NBA or really in any other sport where you have such massive loss. Look, it's one thing to go 0-16 in the NFL. We've seen that. But there's usually going to be a night on the NBA schedule that even the worst teams find a nut to break a streak. But if you're not going to bother to play defense, well, this streak could be everlasting. We'll see. At Detroit, then versus Charlotte, and then home against the Lakers on the 3rd of March. And then the second half of a back-to-back there is on the road at Portland. So those are your final four games of the first half for the beleaguered Kings.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS. You can save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. So there it is. Luke Walton has the hottest seat in the NBA. And as he said, he is frustrated. But coming up next, Russell Wilson doesn't technically want out, but he's given the Seahawks four teams that he wants to be traded to. Here's why, if you're on the list or not, you call the Seahawks to get Russell Wilson, because the Seahawks' response to Wilson being upset tells you that they are okay with trading him. We get into it next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. So, things have gotten pretty hectic, pretty fast regarding Russell Wilson and a potential trade. And I admit, I went on Twitter today and I said, can someone please send me Russell Wilson photoshopped in the Jets uniform? And I got it right away with the C on the uniform. They named him the captain. Oh, it was awesome. It's so exciting. And, you know,
start asking for products and stuff. See if people will send you things.
I think that's against the law.
I hear that works.
Yeah, but I don't think you're really, I don't think that's, quote, super legal. I don't think you can really do that in radio. Can you just ask for stuff? I don't think you can.
I don't know. It seems to work out okay for some folks.
Ooh, yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, I think just
you like stuff.
I do like stuff. Who doesn't like stuff? I like a lot of stuff. I just don't. I mean, I like the job. You know, I mean, how much training do we have to go through? We go through training like every 3 weeks about stuff you can and can't do on the radio.
Don't do this.
You know? Hey, you want to know a fun story real quick? So here, I'll pull back the curtain here before we get into Russell Wilson. So we go through compliance training like you probably do at work all the time, where you have to sit through a half hour video of an industrial video of, hey, here's what it means. You know, you do things like sexual harassment or things you can and can't do when it comes to company secrets. You know, what salespeople can and can't talk about. And everybody, we all have to do it. And I feel like we have to do it like every 3 weeks. It's like, do we have to do this once a year? But like, we have to do it a lot. So the most recent one we had was probably about a month ago. And it was about secrets in the business, right? It's like legal things you can't do, like payola and plugola, and just all things you can and can't do with the radio. You can't, you know, give somebody something and promise them airtime, you know, lots of different things. And what they do is they give you all these different videos of situations involving work that you watch and go, okay, here's a quiz. Is what Anita said to Jim about the money rates they're charging for advertising legal or not? And you have to answer these questions. So we're watching So I'm watching, like, 3 weeks ago, I'm watching this industrial. And I look, and it was, and I look, I go, oh my God, it's my wife's best friend is in the video. She's one of the people in the video.
No kidding.
In the office. Swear to God. I'm like, oh my God, there's Lisa. I text her right away. I stop. I go, hey, did you do an industrial about legalities in the workplace for radio and TV? She goes, oh my God, yes, I did that like a year ago. I go, I'm watching you right now. You're in my video. And she goes, you're kidding. And she goes, can you send me a video of it? So I send her video of it, which I don't think that's against the law.
I don't think that's legal.
I think I'm okay. I can send her video of that, right? I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. So I said, all right, here it is. And like, she played somebody in the office saying, hey, can you meet with somebody? Great. And the person comes in to meet, and the person doing the interviewing is saying things they're not supposed to. And I'm like, oh, you're in my video. Completely took me out of what I'm saying. Go, hey, there's Lisa. She's in the video.
And then you got her to reenact the scenario.
It's, I'll tell you, it was, she said, oh, I did it like a year ago. I don't really remember it, but I don't have video of it. Can you send it to me so I can see it? And I said, yeah, sure. So I sent it to her. She goes, how did that look? I go, you didn't do anything illegal. So I was like, I can't say, I was mad at you for anything. Everything seemed legal. What you were talking about seemed legal. I mean, I don't know, but it seemed like it was legal. That's kind of where it's at. So anyway, I just thought that was really interesting. I mean, hey, it's not quite when like getting to see Wesley Snipes in the ESPN sexual harassment video that you have to watch before he had a job there. That was pretty. I'm like, wow, it's Wesley Snipes. Must have been like his first job. We had to do that. We had to watch a sexual harassment video. Everybody who starts watches, and it's a story in the workplace of there's a guy who talks to a girl and it's really uncomfortable. And Wesley Snipes is the best friend. And, he has to decide what to do. It's the right thing. And it must have been like one of the first acting jobs he's had, because it was this, this video. This is like 1993 I'm talking about right now. And he looks like he's like 21 years old. He's just a guy working in an office, and he sees what happens. And it's now, what should Jim do when he witnesses this behavior? And it was like, oh my God. And that's all we could talk about after was Wesley Snipes in that video, man. That was cool. Wesley Snipes. Did you learn anything? Oh yeah, yeah. But dude, Wesley Snipes was in that video, man. That was kind of cool. That's all we can talk about. Wesley Snipes is in there.
Office plays videos all just because I said, don't you like stuff?
Yeah.
But yes,
yeah.
you got your digital Russell Wilson in a Jets uniform. That's as close as he's ever showing up to being on your team.
He's already like the third best quarterback we've ever had, and that's all we do is have the video of him in a uniform. He's like the fourth best quarterback. It's like it goes like Namath and then Pennington and O'Brien, and then it was Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson today. This is the day that even the most staunchest defenders of teams don't trade their star quarterbacks, you have to come to the other side and realize that Russell Wilson is going to get traded. All right, now, look, we told you this was going to happen about a month and a half ago when the Seahawks were going through their postseason hires. Things were not going well, and they were hiring an offensive coordinator that liked to run the football. Pete Carroll said they got to run the football. That does not jibe with what Russell Wilson likes to do, so we knew there was going to be trouble. I'll admit, I thought it was going to be a year where Russell Wilson's going to play this year, and if things don't work out, then probably in 2022 he would be someplace else. But no, Wilson goes on the Dan Patrick Show, talks about, I don't know if I'm on the trading block or not. I wish I wouldn't get hit as much. And that kind of started the ball rolling. The Athletic puts out a story today that says, oh, the chasm between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson is pretty wide. It goes back to where things boiled to a head during the season, where following a loss, getting ready for a game, Russell Wilson had ideas of what the team should do to improve the offense. He gave ideas to the coaches, and the coaches ignored him, and he stormed out of a meeting because he was so upset. All right, that played out through the rest of the season, and in the Super Bowl, he was texting friends, upset that I got hit so much, and Tom Brady's not getting hit during the Super Bowl, and here we are, Russell Wilson, what's next for him? And I don't think it's any coincidence that the story gets out today about Russell Wilson and his unhappiness, and it's piggybacked with Adam Schefter's report that even though Russell Wilson says he's okay in Seattle, which he's not, there are four teams he would be okay with taking a trade to. Dallas, New Orleans, Chicago, and the Raiders, right? Now, we'll get to the teams and what the where they should fall in lines of, okay, they'd be great with him. This is where he should go. We'll get to that in a bit. But even if you're not on this list, you need to call the Seahawks and see if you can make a deal, because it is clear by the Seahawks' reaction to everything that's going on with Russell Wilson, they are eminently okay if Russell Wilson leaves the team. Right, as talented as he's been, Mike, the entire time, his entire run with the Seahawks, he wasn't really beloved by his teammates early on. They felt they didn't like that the rules were different for Russell Wilson, that Pete Carroll made the rules different for him than they did other players. You don't hear out of Seattle what a great leader he is. You get the view of Russell Wilson through a lens of his teammates that, well, Russ is a real talented player, and he's our offense whether we like it or not. And that's kind of where things have been with Wilson and the Seahawks for a while. You have not seen the Seahawks come around to him. You have not seen the Seahawks show that, hey, we want to make sure things are right with Russell Wilson. None of that. You know, at least you have the Texans saying, we don't want to trade Deshaun Watson. Now, what they want to do and don't want to do are two different things. But you'd see nothing from the Seahawks of guys reaching out and Pete Carroll saying, Russell's really our guy. What we got last week was, we don't want to trade Russ, but, you know, three first-round picks might be what it would be. Well, then if you're not trading him, why are you throwing out what it would be to go get him? If Russell Wilson is really not that gettable, why would that be thrown out there? And why today would Russell Wilson say, oh, I'm happy here, but these are the four teams I'd like to go to? The Seahawks are okay with moving on from Russell Wilson. They are 100% okay. They've seen him. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to two. They want to do something different with the team. Pete Carroll wants to run the football. Shane Waldron, their new OC, wants to run the football. This is what they want to do. And if Russell Wilson's not on board, they will make a trade. And so it's not the case of where other teams still are trying to hold off until the last minute before trading a quarterback. No, no, no. The Seahawks are basically saying, yeah, if we have to trade him, we have to trade him. Call the Seahawks. He is available. You can get him. You, even if you're not on the list, Jets, make that phone call, Jets. You never know, Jets. You have the three first-round picks, Jets. You can give him back the two picks that Jamal Adams got for you coming in reverse, and he would look awesome because you'd look like you're trading Jamal Adams in a first-round pick for Russell Wilson, and the Jets win, and they win huge. You can do this. Call the Seahawks. He is available. Go get him.
Yeah, I like the idea of everybody just calling and coming up with their best offers, sending fruit plates and baskets of assorted goods to try to grease the wheels here. For the Seahawks, I still don't understand. I agree with Jason Cole. Why you'd let it get to this point, given what Russell Wilson has done for the last decade, unless you're deciding, hey, you know what, we've had a good run, and it's time to just move on, and we're not going to listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I think he's earned his stripes right there in terms of what he's been brought to the table. To your point about giving him that full hug, yes, it's well chronicled, the issues with the Legion of Boom and different rules. The word veneer comes to mind as we've talked a lot as people go after a little bit of the persona of Russell Wilson, always with the Go Hawks, and that you never really saw the real Russell Wilson. And that's not for me to say. I don't know the guy one way or another. But that didn't play well in the locker room. And if that's the case, then seems like that could have been a bridge built somewhere along the way. But you're at this point now that even though his agent's statement is he doesn't want to leave Seattle, but here's four teams. I mean, it's the laminated list from Friends, right? It's like, I love you. I do. But here's the celebrities that if circumstances happen, all right, all right, all right. And away we go. And that's kind of where we're at. So the door is cracked open. Now it's a matter of someone coming and kicking it in to make the right deal to make this happen, right? We talk about salary cap implications. Remember, it all ties to bonuses that stay on the cap, not and dead cap money, not the actual salaries. Those get picked up by the new team. So we look at that. We look at him and Deshaun Watson and whatever, and trying to make it all the math make sense. It'll just follow the blueprint of the Rams, and it'll be just fine. But where we're at it, I question whether there's any way to bring this back or whether it's gone a bridge too far now that we've got, what, round three between the Schottenheimer response of not being happy that he got fired to the Dan Patrick Show interview. The love that we get to reference that our network and Dan Patrick, that that's where Russell Wilson started to bare his soul a little bit. And, you know, Dan, the interviewer, got him to come out of his shell on the follow-up. And then, obviously, here's day three. All right, they come in threes. Now start photoshopping into the team of your choice, except the Jets.
You know, if there was a pushback, there would have been some reports from some within the organization of, hey, wait a minute, are we really sure that this is the road we want to go down with Russell Wilson? Don't we want to just, you know, stop all this silliness right now? No, there's not. There's been no voice of that, which tells you that if this is a power struggle, and it clearly is a power struggle because Russell Wilson wants to be treated like Tom Brady with the Buccaneers, where you're going to give me everything, I deserve everything. He's not going to get that. And so then it's going to be adversarial. And there's no one that's been able to throw the emergency brake and go, all right, before this gets out of control, let's just decide what we want to do with Russell Wilson.
Right.
No, they're okay with it. I mean, you don't hear, we don't want to trade a guy, but it would take three first-round picks. You don't get that. You don't get that at all, right? And said that was the first thing we got out of Russell Wilson. I give you odds right now that he gets traded before Deshaun Watson, before Aaron Rodgers, before Sam Darnold, before anybody. He's going to wind up getting traded because the Seahawks are going to want to, if we're going to do this, and if you're open to it, okay, then you're just looking for a deal. Right. If you're OK with it and I'm OK with it, then now we're just negotiating to how it's going to be. And this will come together really, really fast where this is what it's going to be. It will be something. It's not going to be some whole, well, this team has this offer and this team has this offer. This team has that. No, it will come together pretty quick. And I wonder, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, you look at the teams that are on the list, right? I wonder if it's so adversarial that the two aren't working together for a trade, right? Because it's kind of coincidental. I mean, I'm getting out there a little bit on here, but I'm okay with that. That last week, we're not going to trade him, but here's what we want. Today it was, I don't want to get traded, but here are teams I want to go to. And all the teams that he would go to all have quarterbacks they can send back to the Seattle Seahawks. This is not Deshaun Watson where they want to go to one team where, well, they don't have a quarterback to send back. One team doesn't have the draft picks to send back. One team doesn't have the anything to send back as far as players go. I mean, really, when you talk Jets, Dolphins, Carolina, those are just his wish lists, right? But these four teams, basically, they all have players that can go back. They all have the draft capital that can go back. It's almost like, hey, these are teams that if they want to do it, we can make this happen very easily. So I wonder if in the end, and again, this is just, you know, part of me being cynical, knowing how the NFL and things operate, is it so bad that they wouldn't work together on a trade? Right? Because if they've both decided, okay, hey, it's best for you to move on. I agree. Let's do this. Okay, let's do this. I'd go to one of these teams. I know this would help you guys get a quarterback back, or this would help you get back. Because it's just very coincidental that these teams all have things that the Seahawks could want. All four of these teams have things the Seahawks could want in return for Russell Wilson.
I dig this. Potential for chaos.
You like
and
that,
Pete
huh?
Carroll gets to stay in charge. And everybody gets what they want. Russell Wilson gets to go to one of these systems where he either takes over a city or has more control of the offense, or ideally both. And Pete Carroll gets to continue to reign supreme in Seattle. The only people that lose, the fans that have so loved Russell for a decade.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
All time to get happy. No matter how upset you are, if you're a Seahawks fan, you be waving goodbye to Russell Wilson. Doesn't matter. This song will put you in a good mood. You used to rule the NFC West, but now your quarterback is really upset now. And you can trade him to the Jets. And we'll send Sam Darnold back to you with the first two picks you gave us for Jamal Adams can go right back to you right now. All right. So, Fox Sports
My
Radio.
My man, you make it sound like Jimmy Buffett has range compared to you, my man.
You know, my daughter says to me all the time when, like, when she'll hear me do something like that, you know, freestyle and do it, she'll go, "Dad, how do you make up words to a song and just do it?" I go, "Because Daddy is really talented." She goes, "Because a lot of times it doesn't make sense." And I go, "Oh, well, okay, sure, all right, that's it, all right, great." You know, I said, "Okay, well, you understand the whole thing is, well, the thing is, I got to stop and go, well, here's the thing is that, you know, the song is going, and the Jets may trade for a quarterback who a team wants to let go. So that's what I'm singing the song about." She's looking at me like, "Yeah, I'm done, Dad. I'm done. I want to go play Minecraft. I'm done. I'm done. Let's move on."
As soon as you say Jets, right?
Yes. Yeah, eyes glaze over like, "Oh, that's it. Oh, it's a Jets conversation." So look, the situation with Russell Wilson right now with Seattle is Russell Wilson says he doesn't want out, but he's got teams out there for him to be traded to. He had a big column in The Athletic today that illustrated how big the rift is between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I get it, and Russell Wilson wants to have the same kind of power with his team that Tom Brady has with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. "You're going to build around me. The offense is going to be what I want. You're going to give me playmakers," all these things. But if you want to be compared to Tom Brady, here's the crazy part. I get the Patriots when they had to make a choice between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, where Brady didn't like the way he was treated anymore. Him and Belichick weren't getting along. Belichick is kind of going down as the best NFL head coach of the past 30 years at least. So I get why the Patriots said, "We got to stick with Bill." Right. And Tom, you only have a couple of years left and Belichick can still coach for another 10 years or so. So I get taking Belichick. He's got the pedigree. I don't get why it's so automatic that Seahawks would, "Well, we got to choose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson," because things are always attainable. If you have a quarterback, you can have a great head coach. If you don't have a quarterback, it ain't going to matter. Look at the Patriots. They had a head coach. They didn't have a quarterback. What happened? 7-9. All right, now, Pete Carroll's a really good head coach, right? The guy's won a Super Bowl. He's been to two. But without Russell Wilson, his record ain't that great. And if you have Pete Carroll and your quarterback is Marcus Mariota, what do you have more confidence in, that that's going to be a winning team? Or if Eric Bieniemy was your head coach and Russell Wilson was the quarterback? You have more confidence because the quarterback makes the plays. The quarterback stirs the drink. The quarterback is what makes a team good, and that would make the Seahawks better. So that combination would be better off. I'd rather have Russell Wilson, if it comes down to it, than having Pete Carroll. Not that it's going to matter, because the Seahawks clearly aren't going to say, "Well, we'll get rid of Pete Carroll for you." They've already shown, "Hey, Russell, we'll trade you." But if you have to choose between the two of them, boy, I'm never going to kick that quarterback out the door before a head coach.
Well, especially as we talked about with Jason Cole a little bit earlier, you're a franchise, and even if you push that aside, but look at the franchise. Matt Hasselbeck was a great quarterback for a stretch of his NFL career. Otherwise, you're going back 40 years to guys that we look at and we know the names, and you're like, "Well, they were good in spurts, but were they dominant?" And Russell Wilson, while he may hold the ball too long and there's some personnel fights that have certainly gone on behind the scenes, locker room stuff we hear about, he's the guy. He stirs the drink, right? You still put him as one of your top five guys, right? For the first half of this season in 2020, it was, "All right, Russell, finally get MVP votes." Wait, he's never gotten an MVP vote? And let's talk about Russell Wilson. Yes, it was premature MVP talk, but that's what we do. You're talking in the moment and finding greatness in the moment. And what were they? They were great. And then they weren't able to sustain, partially on defense, partially some issues on offense, and the inability to run the football consistently. And then you get into fighting about how much is the offensive line's fault. But for Pete Carroll, like, he's ruled that now for a decade, and there's nobody in his way, right? John Schneider's there helping to pick the groceries, but in the end, it's Pete Carroll's team. So long as he has supreme power, yeah, he gets to say, "All right, I'm bigger than Russell Wilson." I don't know that the fans of Seattle would agree, even though I saw some on social media run today as it started to swell, saying, "Well, if this is how he's feeling against the organization," like, it's just expressing his opinion, man. That's he's a guy that's frustrated with where they are. He was frustrated that he was sitting there with Roger Goodell during the Super Bowl and watching watching a guy that he tried to lobby to bring in for his receiving core, Antonio Brown, score a touchdown there, and he's not feeling heard. And when you're not feeling heard in any situation, all of you think about your lives, you get frustrated, and don't you look for a new situation? That's what Russell Wilson's doing, and that means Seattle probably picks the continuing reign of Pete Carroll over him. Although I agree with you, it should be the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I take Sam Darnold over Pete Carroll, but Russell Wilson, yeah, I take Russell Wilson over Pete Carroll. There's a few guys where it's not even close, and I would take that here now. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. We'll have more on Russell Wilson coming up next hour. We go through the teams that he wants a trade to and tell you which one is probably going to happen. But straight ahead, Deshaun Watson really looks like he's not coming back to the Texans. What happened today? We'll tell you, Fox.